Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from the Relaxation Lounge. I have a special guest on here today, and I love talking about how we can reduce the stress in our lives. And today we're going to talk about three steps to consciously create flow and balance with Michelle. And Michelle is a conscious business coach with over 13 years of experience in business. And she's talking today about her unique method of integrating spirituality and business so we can balance our inner self and our outer actions. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how you got to this journey, how you got to helping people with flow and balance?
Yeah, sure. I mean, probably just over 13 years ago now, 13, 14 years ago, I started working when I came out of university. I actually did drama and theatre arts in uni, so something totally different to what I'm doing now. Ended up working in a property company, very small company, and getting involved quite quickly with everything apart from the selling and letting of property. But with that came trying to make the right systems fall into place for some of the teams and understanding the real bridges between each of the things that happen in business to allow that flow to happen for just smart working to be enabled. And alongside of that journey, I've always been quite a spiritual person. So I've always just naturally infused that into what I do. And I realized a few years later, actually, not a lot of people do this. They turn up at work. Anybody who's been in a corporate environment, I'm sure will resonate with this. You turn up at work and you're one person. You leave the door and you're someone else. And it really disjoints our life. We're two different people, but not in a good way. We kind of fit into these pigeonholes and these boxes. That keeps us stuck and not being in flow just in our life naturally. So I ended up just developing these conscious business tools and really enjoying working with them and implementing them into companies and for entrepreneurs and for in my coaching. And that's kind of how it grew, really.
I love that because I've done that the same. It's almost like you leave your own personality at the door, you go to work, you come back, and then you put your own cape back on. And it just doesn't resonate with, like, I know it for me, it didn't resonate with me. So what are the steps we can take to change that?
There's so many things we can do. One of the core things that anybody can do is always to tune into what they believe is true. So sometimes, whatever we're working on, whether we're working in an environment where somebody's giving us the things that we need to be working on, or we're doing it ourselves, if we have our own businesses and we're doing it ourselves, to look at what is actually true that we're doing, because it's so easy to get on that hamster wheel of, I need to create this whole load of content and all these, you know, TikTok videos. But do you actually like TikTok? Do you want to be on TikTok? Does that fulfill your personality? Does it give you some joy? And if we're unconsciously doing things because we think they're expected of us, we're never going to get the results that we can get doing something that really lights us up inside. So being conscious of what it is that we're doing. For one thing that works super well with entrepreneurs is a three-step business planning method. And it's super simple. It's super simple in principle, but when we get into the nitty-gritty of it, it can feel a bit complicated. And it just goes like this. It's 2 by 2 by 2. So 2 big goals, 2 projects, and then 2 main to-dos for those 2 projects. So for example, if you've got grow my audience and get 5 one-to-one coaching clients for a coach. This is like kind of the baseline of where I started out with mine. And then how are you going to nurture and grow that audience? And you could end up with 10 things that you think you should be doing. But by sticking to 2 by 2 by 2, you've got 2 things. What are the 2 core things that I need to do to grow my audience if that's my big goal? And then from those 2 things, what do I need to do? Because then essentially at the bottom of that pyramid, you end up with 8 things to do, which over a 3-month period is quite a lot of workload. And it keeps you streamlined and focused, because when you're, when you've got so many things that you want to do, or you think you should be doing, or you're testing things out, it's a scary world going out there and doing it on your own, I think, for entrepreneurs. And this definitely works really well for entrepreneurs, especially early stage, because it keeps you from falling back onto that hamster wheel and feeling completely out of alignment with what you're doing.
I find too, as a new entrepreneur, it's the shiny object syndrome. And I mean, I know myself, I'm not doing coaching anymore, but once you start going into your field and you start looking at what other people are doing, you start getting that panic. Like, I should be doing this and I should be doing that and I should be doing this. But I love what you say. So when you do feel like that, what are things that you can do to stop yourself from bouncing all over the place?
Shining your, that's a very good point, because it is one that gets people. And until you've got some experience under your belt, you just don't know. We don't know. And even when you've got experience under your belt and you're trying something new, you go back to the unknown. And, you know, in reality, we actually control very little. We control very little of what happens. The only thing we have absolute control over is our attention. So where is your attention going? If something feels good for you should always do this on your audience. I always say, don't complain, don't compare. So, and it's not easy to do. Again, it sounds really simple, but when we're in the midst of something, it's not easy. Because when you compare to people, so a lot of the work I used to do with SMEs and startups, they used to have a lot of kind of comparisons on, like, competitive research and comparisons on competitors, and a lot of hours and energy went into looking at competitors. And there's nothing wrong with looking at what else is out there in the market and what other people are doing and learning from that. But there is, very quickly, you can get stuck from that. And if you conduct your market research properly, you can do your business on pure market research and no competitor research. But if you did competitor research, you'd probably got lots of holes in your strategy or your tactics or both. So when a shiny new object comes in, when you think, oh, that'd be really good, all these ideas come in and this creativity kind of unleashes in us. When we look at what our audience needs or what it is that's going to be of best service to them, it hones us straight down, because that's where our attention is going. How can we provide the most value to the people that we want to serve? And that's where it kind of helps keep it in that straight and narrow lane. And I'm a big believer of healing through your business as well. So when you have something that comes up, sales is a really common one, especially for entrepreneurs, to pick up the phone and do all of those sales calls or to write those sales messages and to really follow them through. And really understanding the sales process and how you want to show up doing your own sales is one that throws a lot of people. But that throws up stuff that's already in us. So our core wounds of feeling like we don't want to be rejected, or feeling lonely because we've got nobody else to bounce the ideas from, feeling that we're just not worthy of what it is that we're trying to sell. Like, all of these things come up as we go through this journey, and it's an opportunity to look at them. So one of the things that I teach people to do, and I do myself, is when something comes up, just allow it to be. If you feel really imposter syndrome esque come over you, don't identify with that, but allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. And one really simple tool for this is, I feel blank, but can I blank anyway? So I feel scared, but can I reach out to this person anyway? I feel angry, can I complete my content calendar today anyway? I feel unsure, can I try anyway? So whatever your blanks and blanks are, can you push through it? Because there's a balance between burning out and going on the road to burnout and overdoing it, and knowing when you need to stop and rest.
Yeah.
So understanding those two.
And a lot of times, especially, you know, with social media being so big now in our lives, we tend to follow our gurus, and we don't realize, first of all, their budget, their staff.
I definitely think with, when you have a big budget, you can do so much more with your marketing, but you can hit, if you hit 100 people in a quality way, you'll get to where you want to be faster. And that's why the don't comparing comes in, because I mean, I'm also a big fan of, like, digital cleanse to the max. If you are opening your emails and somebody's making you feel threatened, or somebody's making you feel unsure or uneasy about yourself, just you can follow them again in the future once you've gone through whatever it is you're going through. But if it triggers you, unfollow. Don't have that in your space. don't have that in your environment. Your environment is so important to your own mental, emotional, spiritual, physical well-being on so many different levels. So don't have anybody in there that you wouldn't invite into your house.
And the thing is too, I mean, I can't remember who wrote this, was that, I mean, these people also have their insecurities. It's not just the little starting out entrepreneur. It's basically, it's human nature to have those insecurities. It's hard to get through. Are there any, you know, any recommendations you can give us to get through that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's such a good point. One of the turning points for me was understand, like truly, truly deeply understanding that emotions aren't ours. We don't own those emotions. They're experiences that we have. So I don't own anger, because if I owned anger, only I would feel anger and the people that I would give anger to would feel it. I cannot possibly own anger. It's impossible. It makes no sense. So to understand that emotions are actually shared and we're all experiencing emotion, just tapping into an emotion that we all experience at some point, and understanding the difference between the story that goes, like our mind movie, I call it. It's literally like a whole movie playing in your head. You've got from A to Z, when actually none of that is true. And when those things come up, it's like, okay, what is real right now? What is my reality right now? And sometimes that comes back to the senses, listening to what's happening outside of the window, touching the table. It can be those really simple things that can pull your mind back. Because if your thought patterns are going in all sorts of directions, your emotional state will follow. There's a, for the life of me, I think it was the University of Chicago, could be wrong here, but it was a university over in America who did a study on basketball players. Have you heard about this?
No.
They did a study with basketball players. They separated them into three groups. One group could play for an hour a day, practice for an hour a day. The next group could, but they couldn't do anything else. They just practiced 1 hour a day shooting hoops. The next group, 1 hour a day visualizing playing shooting hoops, like just free shots. And the third group, nothing, couldn't touch a basketball, couldn't go onto a basketball court. They had to completely disown basketball for a month. They did this over a month. And when the results came in, they calculated everybody at the beginning on how many free hoop throws that they could do. And then when they recalculated them, the first group who were practicing for an hour a day, like physically on the court, practicing for an hour a day, improved by, I think, about 25%, 26%. The third group who'd done nothing, there was like minimal difference in the start of the month and the end of the month, because they hadn't practiced, they hadn't thought about it, they'd had no kind of involvement, they hadn't continued. But the middle group, who'd only visualized shooting hoops for an hour a day, were 1% behind the ones that were actually practicing on the court. They were 24-25% increase in the free hoop throws that they made. And this is something that athletes use quite heavily, the power of visualization. So if we in our bodies, and sorry, in our minds, are going through these things that could go wrong in our businesses, that's actually coming into our own energy, that's coming into our own reality in an aspect. So it's understanding that whatever we think, we're going to end up becoming if we repeat that kind of cycle over and over again. So one thing to do is to understand the power of that and to drop it. So as soon as you consciously realize, and this is where the conscious business comes in, when you've been completely unconscious about what you've been thinking, you're kind of powerless and you've been swept away. But as soon as you have that moment of, oh my God, drop it, because you start being able to break the pattern. You start being able to judge less and just perceive what's happening and what's going on. And then you can start breaking the illusion, I suppose, of control that we think we have over a situation, and go through it rather than try and go around it.
Just a quick break, because I need to share this with you. In the past, I had a lot of pain in my shoulder, my knees, my ankle, and I know it's from my background of playing baseball. I used to be a carpenter, from driving, and even working on my computer. I tried everything. And still, I'd be on the couch with my heating pad in pain. Well, lately, a friend introduced me to a new product called NutraSwish. Things changed for me. I'm not kidding you. Within days, no pain. And now I've been taking it for a few months, and what a difference. NutriSwish is all about glutathione. I didn't even know what glutathione was. Well, you know what? I sure do now. If you are experiencing pain, especially nerve damage, I encourage you to take a look. You can find out more in the show notes or go to www.therelaxationlounge.info and there's a tab above that says pain. Back to the show. Yeah, that's quite powerful. So what kind of practices do you practice with the clients? Like, you, obviously visualization is one of them, but how do you go ahead with visualization?
Visualization is one. It doesn't always necessarily click with everybody. I think the best thing to do is to take action when we're feeling stuck, is to take some kind of action, because we can't trust our mind. Our mind will lie to us all day long. Because it's trying to keep us safe. It's trying to keep us where we feel familiar and safe and secure. But that's across our whole life. So it stops us from breaking free of those so-called limiting beliefs. So some of this is visualization, but some of it is just coming back to self-care. So Reiki is something that I really love and enjoy, and spiritual healing. And sometimes a really simple Reiki practice in the morning can help ground somebody and come back to their center, because they don't need to keep thinking or think in a different way. They need to come out of their minds and back into their bodies and into their creativity. So I work with a lot of web designers and creative artists with my coaching, and they have such a creative flair. But in order to get to a point of real focus, flow, concentration, we need about 20 minutes. So we need to not have any distractions. We need to allow our environment to not have any distractions. I put my phone over in the bedroom or in the kitchen when I come in to do some deep work. So it's not even in the room. I have no option apart from to get up. And that means I have to consciously get up to check my phone if I'm doing so. So I have to make that choice. It's all about the choices and making it difficult for me to make the choice, if that makes sense. So it's practicing these little things during the day as to allow somebody to go into their bubble. Do you know, have you ever experienced when you've been painting or doing something DIY or creating something, that it's like time's flown by?
I love experiencing flow. I do. It's just amazing.
It's magical. It's absolutely magical. But that's where our best work happens. Wherever you work, whatever industry, whatever sector, whatever you do, that is where the flow happens. If you're a scientist, if you're a pottery artist, that is where we create our best work. And that's where our gift really starts to come to the surface, because we calm ourselves and we just go into a different state. And that is really how we can get that flow. So allowing yourself distraction-free time as a tool is very powerful.
Now, I love talking about flow. I don't know if our listeners know what that is. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. Flow for me is a state of absolute truth and being. So it's enabling ourselves to just allow whatever to happen without judgment, without restriction, and to kind of like, do you know when you have a bit of a download on something, or you think you get an inspired moment for something and you go with it? So it's like you get the idea and then you take action on the idea, and that's flow, because you're taking an inspired moment and that energy, and you're going through that energy into the thing that you're doing. But when you go the other way, it stops flow. So if you think, we touched on this slightly earlier, but if you think I need to be putting content up on my Instagram every day, and then you think that you have to do something, but then you get stuck on the content that you want to create, you're out of flow, because you haven't got to that creative point yet, and allowed it to just guide you. Because when you're in flow, you're out of your mind. You're no longer thinking, and you're in a state of your actions are flowing with your being. And for me, that's really flow, tapping into your flow.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny too, like you use the example of creating information for social media. And there are times where I sit down to do things and it just doesn't flow. And then other times you go to sit down and write a few posts and all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. And it's amazing. And as you said, like next thing you know, there's an hour, 2 hours that have gone by, and you look at all the work that you've created. Now, what are the sort of tips that you can give us to stay and to get the most out of using flow?
Sure. The best thing I can recommend is deep work time. So to give yourself, so what I do, 3 or 4 times a week, I'll put 3 hours solid blocks in my diary. So they are completely, nobody gets into those blocks. I lock myself in my room, wherever I want to be working that day. I love doing this to music and having some music on, always lyric free music. So just some kind of music in the background. And even if I'm on my own, I tend to put it in my ears, in my earphones, like my noise cancellation earphones. So just so nothing can, it kind of puts me in this nice bubble. And before I sit down to do my work, I know what it is I'm going to be working on. Okay, so this week I need to do X, Y, and Z. So I've already planned, and this comes from your 2x2x2 business planning framework for your 90 days. So once you know what you're doing, you can set yourself up for everything you need to be kind of knocking off your list that week. If you need to write a blog, this is really good for writing blogs. It's very similar to, if you've heard of the Pomodoro technique, it's quite similar to that. But then you allow yourself time, you have everything prepped before you start working. You have your water, you have everything ready. So you're not getting up and getting distracted. It takes 20 minutes once you're distracted to get back into a focused flow state. So you can imagine if you've been distracted three times, it's like nearly an hour worth of faffing. And oh, what did I mean by this? And where was I when I started this? And picking yourself back up again. I mean, it does add up. It really does add up. So if you've ever had those days where you think, I've been working all day, but I've got nothing done, it's probably what's happened. You've been distracted too many times to allow you that space to do that flow time. So to give yourself a good solid, for me, 3 hours is a really great time. I used to start with 1.5 and then I went up to 4. 4 was too much. 1.5 wasn't enough. And 3 hours really works for me. 3 or 4 times a week. And nearly all of the time, I don't know that time's gone past. Time stops to exist. It just doesn't exist anymore. I don't know what day of the week it is. Everything else just goes because I'm so focused and I've allowed that flow to happen. And sometimes we get stuck. And if I get stuck, I just drop it. I drop the whole thing. And I'll just sit back in my chair and I'll just wait for it to happen again. So I'll just wait for it to click back in again and try not to force it. And just by doing those kinds of exercises, it means that I get less stressed when I get stuck.
I love that. It's almost like making a date with flow, and it's something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, that's such a lovely way to put it.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping this up. Is there any other tidbits or tricks or techniques that you can share with the audience today?
Sure. I think just off the back of kind of what we've spoken about, there's two things that I always reiterate to try and remember. One is when things come up that feel not nice, not pleasant, not good, not comfortable, you know, anger, anxiety, stress, worry, concern, any of these things come up, like allow that to come up because anything is okay and everything is okay. And don't repress the emotion. It's okay that it's there. It's absolutely okay. And it's part of the journey. And you can still create amazing work through anger. You can still create amazing work through frustration. You can do that through the emotion because it doesn't come from the emotion, your work, it comes from a different place. So don't repress what's happening for you. But also remember to be really conscious about what it is that you're doing. If you meditate in the morning, and I found a lot of clients when they first start working with me and they come to me, they say, you know, I do a meditation in the morning and I prep myself before night, you know, at night before I have the next day. And I try and do all these things, doing all these things to stay organized. I have my meditation in the morning and I get to work and all of a sudden all of these emotions come up. The meditation is when the emotions come up and it is when we're doing our work. If you have any kind of practice that keeps you calm, integrate that in with your day as well. So it won't help to just do the meditation in the morning if everything else is feeling out of balance. Like bring them together in ways that work for you, because then we don't go so up and down. The yo-yo doesn't happen so much. And being very conscious about what we're working on and why. Am I doing this because it's expected of me, because everybody else is doing it, or because I really think that this is going to be the best thing for my business, my audience, and me? My whole framework is around know yourself first, always know your people, and then you know your business. So always start with self, because everything else just flows from there.
Now, do you have anything to offer our audience today?
I do. I've got what might be actually really good off the back of what we've spoken about. I've got 101 affirmations, which are affirmations that I've kind of collected through stuff that I've used myself, stuff that I know has helped other people, to cover like money mindset, sales, business, lifestyle. There's all sorts of different topics in there. So there might be a couple of ones in there that can help support your journey.
Wow, that's powerful. So yes, I will be putting all her information in the show notes or wherever you're seeing this podcast today or video. It's all over the place. So thank you so much, Michelle, for being on here and sharing your unique information, because I just love flow. I do.
Thank you for having me, Denise. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.